And thank you for joining us tonight or this morning. Well, I guess it's all morning almost for everybody. Some people it's the night, whatever, when you wake up. It's Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Connie Willis. Little Elvis there. Christmas is winding down for everybody. And now we're going to start talking about 2017 and stuff like that. In fact, George will be back tomorrow night, and he's going to be talking about trends for 2017, also the power of hypnosis. And if you want to know more about that, go to our website. This hour, we're going to have a new guest, and that's going to be Mr. Sam Sharon. He's going to be here talking about a creepy Christmas. So stay here, and we'll find out. And I'm going to tell you, too, coming up, I'm going to tell you something pretty creepy, too, that's going on. That's all I'm going to say for right now. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Connie Willis. And as we continue on with the creepy Christmas and we also kind of wind down Christmas, something creepy just happened to me. Nathan is the board op and producer that's out in L.A. I'm in Louisville at 840 WHAS. Nathan, how are you tonight?
Doing well. Merry end of Christmas to you.
Right. Well, thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you something, because, and I got to tell everybody what just happened here. Mm-hmm. You used to work here at this station.
Yes. Okay. Started out there.
Oh, okay. And I used to work at a competitor to this station years ago. And this is a big place. This is definitely a big, you would want to be here at this place. I mean, of course, we knocked you all out a lot. But anyway, you know, in the ratings. But anyway, I just, so you'll know, because I don't know any history about this building, but I'm in the back. Normally the studio's up in the front, but I chose to be in the back so that I could be more coast. I could have more of a good vibe of being in coast and nobody around me and turn the lights down kind of thing. But something, I'm wearing a hoodie tonight. It's not too cold outside, but it's cold enough. And I've got a hoodie on and something pulled the back of my hoodie a minute ago. And I'm here by myself.
Pulled it off, like, or this just a little wind blew by?
No, yeah,
on you, like
no little wind,
you, really.
Right, no, it didn't like pull me, it just pulled the like somebody would grab your hoodie and kind of pull it back, kind of thing. Just the hoodie.
This show does weird things like that, you know. I've seen, heard strangers. But now, I don't want to spook you too much. I don't know if you know the history of that building. There was, before it was radio station, a massive warehouse fire there. And someone, unfortunately, did not get out of there.
No.
So, chew on that for a little bit.
Now, the engineer's here, and I don't know. It's a very big building. But, yeah,
I'm the only one there tonight, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm in the back, which, you know, normally in the front, but I'm in the back because I chose this way, and it felt like a pretty good vibe, but not now. I don't like the vibe in here right now. It's in the very back where, like, the train tracks are behind us kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
know
what I'm talking
about?
That's
a creepy train track that just ends.
Oh, my. Yes, it does. It just ends. Oh, my goodness. Ah, something pulled my hoodie. I'm not. This is a creepy Christmas for sure.
Absolutely.
Krampus or something. No, Krampus isn't real. It might have to do with our next guest. Maybe that's it. And I'm not kidding anybody. And you're not kidding either, are you, Nathan?
No, I swear. I promise. I've heard that from day one when I was in there.
Oh, no one's ever told me that.
Kind of a weird. Yeah, there is a weird vibe around that place. I get it.
Well, I got it. Oh, my goodness. Well, on that note, I don't even have, I can't even talk. I'm scared.
I would say lock the door, but obviously that's not going to help you.
Doesn't mean a thing, does it? Don't. Yeah, people lock their doors. It's like, why? They just, I don't know how they get in, but they're here. Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's, you know that feeling. That's what's going on right now. Oh, man. Well, on that note, let's bring on our next guest who's going to tell us about a creepy Christmas. Mr. Sam Sharon. How are you, Sam?
Hi. How you doing? Pleasure to be on.
Well, thank you. It's, wow, listen to that accent. Wow. Sam, I'm scared. I don't know if you just heard that, but something just grabbed my hoodie, and I'm just not happy about it. Do these things happen before you come into a room or on the air?
To me personally, every day, every morning.
Well, maybe you sent it over here. Anyway, it's very nice to meet you. Wow, I'm sorry. I can't get over it. Normally, I would say, I'd talk about the bio of, the person I'm talking to, but I'm kind of shaken up. So, tell me about yourself.
Well, where do I begin? I'm a British graphic artist, I guess you could say, specializing in horror and science fiction. And I create book covers and album sleeves for a variety of people, clients, people including Clive Barker, Rob Zombie, The X-Files, and some of our friends in the unexplained world, David Weatherly, Wesley Strieber, Jace Kletsky, Small Town Monsters, Seth Breedlove, all those people. So really I specialize in creating imagery that you don't see every day.
Well, that's for sure. And you work for some gigantic names. You have some unbelievable work. I really like looking at it. And the one that we were, starting out to talk about tonight is your creepy Christmas coloring book. And when I saw it, I just fell in love with it. Not only are, of course, all the pictures really, really neat and cool and very different and unique, and they're there for people to color. But as I was growing up, one of my brothers, I had three brothers, and one of my brothers would sit downstairs in a black light, and he had crayons that were the black light crayons. And then he also had these really neat, well, they would be comic books, and he would actually, but they didn't have color to them. They were like a coloring book, comic book type of thing. And he would sit under that black light and he would color these things. So when I got your book, I kept contemplating, I need to have it in front of me while I talk to Sam. I need to have it in front of me while I talk to him on the air. But then I need to get this to my brother for so he can open it for Christmas, because it was so great of a coloring book. So I went ahead and bought him some pens and sent it. And I said, I'll just have to, fess up to what I did. But it's an incredible coloring book. How did you decide to make a coloring book?
Well, thank you very much. It seems to be it just this incredible phenomenon, this huge viral craze, as they call it, that's
Yeah.
really exploded over the last 2 years. It seems like everybody's doing a coloring book now. Of course, you have your standard sort of Harry Potter coloring books out there, the big sort of commercial ones. But anyone who's an artist, friends of mine like Alan Robert, he put one out as well. The Beauty of Horror, that's out there. There's so many on the market now that my manager suggested, hey, why don't you do one? So I looked into it and I thought, well, we're coming up to Christmas. Let's have a look at Christmas and let's look at all the old folkloric legends and all the sort of the creepier stories. And the more I looked into it, there's actually far more disturbing, dark stories than Halloween. So I dove right in and started to do more research.
That's absolutely true. Did you get to hear our interview before you? You
I
may or
didn't,
may
but
not.
I do know Al,
Oh,
and
okay.
I went to a number of his events in early December this year, his Krampus Los Angeles group. It's absolutely fantastic. And yeah, he's just put a book out, as you know, of course, and I had the pleasure of having him sign it and going to some of these live events. Absolutely fantastic chap, really knowledgeable.
Yeah, we just talked with him. The book is beautiful, and yeah, when I started looking at your pictures, I could see that you did Krampus, and then I, there were some things I've never seen before that you pulled out, and so yeah, you did a good job with your research, and you did some just really, I mean, the way, what was the kissing under the mistletoe? The way you showed that. By the way, on coasttocoastam.com, everybody, there are some pictures that you will find in this coloring book, and they're really, really neat. But so also, besides drawing a picture so that people can later color, on the other side of it, you have poetry that goes with it. Did you actually come up with, did you write the poetry yourself?
I did indeed, yes.
Oh, wow. A talented man, very, very talented. So, I mean, that's some really good stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, originally it was going to be an encyclopedia, because it's all very well putting out lots of imagery. And first and foremost, I'm an artist. That's what I do. But doing the research, it was just so fascinating. I thought, I can't just put these images out. I want to include some of the tales and stories that go with them. And with it being festive, I thought, well, let's make it a little bit more fun and turn them into sort of poems. So that was that. And then I kind of snowballed, excuse the pun, into what it is now.
Well, it's interesting. Let me ask you, is the book around you at all?
It is.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna do something later, but I'll wait until the break and talk to you about that, and I'll talk to you about that here at the break. I won't. I'll leave that as a surprise. But do you have a favorite in the book?
I think my personal favorite, I think, is Rabbit Rudolph.
Yeah. I think that was cute. I was like, Rabbit Rudolph? Who would do that to Rudolph?
Yeah, it was because, some of the, the book is, as you said, it contains all sort of different folkloric legends from across Europe. But I've also included some of the more modern commercial things and given my own twist. So some of it is a little bit fictitious on my part, but it's really just to sort of round off this whole world a little more and sort of tie everything together.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. That most people do that. Well, what was your childhood like? How did you get into this? Usually it affects people when they're very young. Did we lose you? Oh, we lost him. And the reason why that we lost him is most likely he's over in the UK calling us. So, yeah, he actually lives in the United States, yet he's over there for the holidays. So we'll get him back on the phone. If you've not seen his creepy Christmas coloring book, definitely go online right now, check it out. Definitely go to coasttocoastam.com and you'll see it on there, some of the pictures that we've pulled out. And it's really neat because you can make it what you want to make it at this point. It's just kind of, outlined, and then you can add the colors as you like them. So Sam, I think we have you back. So my question was, in seeing this, what was your childhood like? How did you get into this? Usually something happens to somebody as a kid, and that's how this stems.
Well, I grew up in Cheshire in England, on the edge of a big forest, in a little town called Murdershaw. And Murdershaw was many hundreds of years ago one of the capital hanging spots. And the forest growing up was reported to be haunted. And of course, around 7 years old, there was one night a pretty horrific, I'll call it experience, I don't know what it was, where I had two small children wander into my room that obviously didn't live with us. And originally,
wow.
I thought that they were, my aunt and uncle had come to visit, and originally I thought it was them stood in the doorway saying goodnight, because I'd already been sent to bed. And so I said goodnight, and they didn't answer. And I sort of, sat up in bed and said, well, goodnight then, and they still didn't answer. And then they started to walk into the room, and that's when I realized they were a lot shorter than they should have been. And when the light changed as they entered the room, I could see that they were children. And so I yelled out a big scream and yelled and everything else.
Right.
And, my mom came and sort of dragged me out of the room and shut the door, and to this day she won't speak about it.
Wow.
All she will say is that all she knew was something was going on in that room, and she just knew that she had to get me out of there, but she will not talk about it. She sort of says blah 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 blah, really creeps her out. She doesn't want to sort of go there. But from that point on, I knew there was something else going on in this world that isn't your everyday. And
I think we're losing him again, so we're gonna just change that that connection there.
Supernatural.
Oh, wait a minute, we got him coming back again. Hey Sam, we lost you there for a little bit.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is very spooky. Something grabbed me by the hood, and then you're going in and out. There's something going on here. You were talking about the fact that you had these little kids in the room, and you knew at that point that there's obviously something else in this world going on. Let me just go back to those kids for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's where you were fading back. What was it? Did you ever find out a history of the house? Was it some sort? Was it really kids? Or, you got to keep in mind sometimes when there's something short in your room, you might think they're kids and they could be ET related stories.
Well, it's funny you say that because other people have suggested that to me, and looking back, I mean, I being interested in the unexplained, of course, I've read various accounts and things, and one thing after someone had actually mentioned that to me was that apparently it's fairly common that entities, if you will, from another dimension or another world, will take on the guise of children, particularly from another period. So that's pretty disturbing because it sort of made my eyebrows raise and think, well, yeah, I mean, were they ghosts or, did my mum sort of stop an abduction? Who knows?
That's true. That I didn't even go that far, but yeah, you're right. That could be the case. Now that you've moved away from that as a child, you're still not living there, right? Are you still having any experiences like that? Well, you did say things happen all the time, right?
Well, they do. I mean, we moved sort of after that, and my parents, they own a Victorian stone building on the edge of the Irish Sea in the UK now. And
Nice.
it's full of my own taxidermy collection, but of course, I live in Los Angeles now. But as you know, Los Angeles is a very old place, and that's full of all kinds of ghost stories. So it's always nice to go into some of the old buildings there, whether it's the old theaters or what have you. But every day, whether it's a sort of something out of the corner of your eye or a sensation of deja vu or anything really strange, sort of always seems to happen to me. And they say, anyone who says, oh, yeah, this happens to me all the time, and they see all these kind of things, people just think, oh, they're crazy or they just want it to be that way. But it can be quite annoying because it's sort of, it does get in the way of everyday life, especially when you can't sleep, there's someone stood in the corner of the room kind of thing.
Yeah, I do know, and most of our listeners know, so that we can all relate to you for sure on that. Not only do they think you're nuts and crazy and all that kind of stuff, but it is, you're right, it can be so annoying because you're like, gosh, I'm just trying to do something here. I'm just trying to make things happen, and there's something over there. It's just like me tonight. I was just doing a show talking about creepy Christmas, and something grabbed me by the hood, and I'm the only one here, and it wasn't a friendly kind of pull, so I don't. Yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about. So anyway, we're going to be going to a break here shortly, and then I want to kind of talk to you about something. Maybe I got something kind of neat that I want to talk about. But hopefully you're fine with taking some phone calls because we are going to have people call in tonight and ask you some questions, as you have a extreme rich history with your artwork and also some other research that you've got going on that we'll talk about too when we come back. I'm looking forward to talking about that. But right before we leave, really quickly, did you get to meet Kiss when you worked with them, and how are they if you did? Because that's one of my faves. Oh, I think we lost them again. We lost them again. That's weird. That doesn't normally happen. Wow. Talk about ET, and he has stuff happen to him all the time, and then I got something pulled. Okay. It's one of those nights. Well, we're going to go back into the spirit of Christmas here. Oh, man, folks. Well, listen, you're listening to Coast AM. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask him if he'll read one of his poems that he's written out. They're really, really good stuff. So you stick around with us. I'll let you enjoy some music. I'm going to burn some sage. We'll be right back here. Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM. Tuned in to Coast AM with me, Connie Willis, and Johnny Cash. That tune right there, maybe my favorite. I've just always loved the little drummer boy. And to hear Johnny Cash singing it is just, oh my gosh, that's just the way to go. I mean, he's also along with Neil Young there. And just his voice, and I've met a lot of artists out there, and I have met Johnny Cash. It was an honor to be able to have met him. I brought him out on stage and got to talk to him behind stage, in between the sets, and he was just a wonderful guy, just wonderful. So, Creepy Christmas continues here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to be talking to Sam Sharon. We got his connection back, and some creepy things are happening. I'm telling you, this is really Interesting. I mean, it's one thing when you're out looking, checking out a haunted house or checking out some haunted building and these things happen. It's another one you're on the air to the world and it happens and you're all so far away. I mean, he's on the other side of the planet right now and things are happening to me and also to our connection. Well, here is a really good connection. If you've never seen George Norrie in person, or you've only maybe just seen pictures of him, or maybe not even pictures, you've just heard that voice for many, many, many years here on Coast to Coast. Well, guess what? He's got a TV show now. Can you believe it? It's called Beyond Belief with George Norrie. Really, really good. You can check out the trailer just to, say, hey, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. Check out the trailer. That's always a great thing to do. And we've got it here. It's on coasttocoastam.com, and you'll see the it's an internet TV show. You can sign up for it. It's 99 cents for the first month. It's beyondbelief.com is where it's out of. You can see already a ton of stuff. I mean, he's already got stuff backed up, and he's got more things to come. It's an incredible show. You're really going to like it. Again, check out the trailer. Go to coasttocoast.com to find out more info. It's another very interesting show here on Coast to Coast AM, the real theater of the mind, and some spooky, creepy things going on. Our theme for the evening was, Krampus and creepy Christmas stuff. And here I am in the studio. I mean, it's a big building, by the way, and I'm in the back where now I've found there's a little history of a fire and some people not making it out, and some other stories I'm now hearing about the place that I never knew about. Anyway, I got a hoodie on and it was tugged. And there's an engineer here and there might be a couple news people somewhere on the other end of the building. But anyway, imagine being in a room doing Coast to Coast, right? I got all the lights down. I set the mood when I do this. And wow. And then we bring in Mr. Creepy himself from the other side of the world. He's in the UK calling us tonight, and we're having trouble with a landline. Now, we never have trouble with landlines, and we're losing him. And a little spooky. He said at first, his exact words were spooky. And so now we have pulled up Mr. Sam Sheeran up on the Skype. So we're going to see how that's going. Are you back with us, Sam?
I certainly am, yes.
Oh,
It's indeed quite strange.
it is. I tell you, that's never happened to me before, but at least online like this or on the air like this. But that's okay. We'll get through it without a problem. But so I'm looking through the coloring book and I'm looking at all the pictures. The one that always continues to catch me is the mistletoe one where it's like two kids or a couple of some sort, they're kissing, and then their lips and their face are melting with it within each other, I guess, or pulling apart or something, right? How do you come up with these thoughts? That's incredible.
I mean, it's just that's what happens, isn't it, when you kiss people? I wouldn't know, really, but
You wouldn't know?
no, I'm never that lucky. No, I don't know where that came from. It just sort of, two people kissing. How can you make that disgusting more than it already is to some people, I suppose? Then to just have their faces melting, to be in love with someone is to become, completely one with them. So let's make that physical in their face in a way.
And you did that, and it really came across great. They're really a joy to look at. I mean, you did some great work. The Krampus as well is exactly what we were talking about earlier with Al. You've just nailed everything and depicted it. And some of the names that, you got Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is Claws. You got the Rabbit Rudolph, which you said is your favorite, the Grimace Tree, the Wendigo, the Snow Bear, the Yule Cat, the Abdominal Snowman. And in looking at them, you just really did a good job. And of course, art, you can tell, is your love and your talent without a doubt. But your writing too, learning that these poems are yours, and I'm very happy to say that or ask you to read one for us, if you would, with that
Sure.
accent and the fact that you did. I'd love that. Can you pick out one, tell us what it is, and do that for us?
Let's see. Well, seeing this, as Coast to Coast is sort of geared towards the unexplained, we can do the Abominable Snowman, perhaps.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, whichever one you want. They all were like amazing to me. They were fun to read.
All right, well, let's see then. Okay, so the people of the Himalayas, Nepal, Tibet, and Bhutan, talk of a creature, a beast, a monster, the abominable snowman. He's said to be part ape, part man, somewhere in between. Though way up in the snowy mountains, he's seldom ever seen. Considered by some as legend and nothing more than myth, some say he's kin to Sasquatch and Bigfoot are his kin. Science thinks he's just a bear, one as yet undiscovered, but the mystery of the mountain man is very much beloved. A prehistoric bear may be, or is he just a tale, thought by some a trophy goal, just like the Holy Grail? His footprints are his calling card. He's certainly some size. And since the 1920s, his name's been on the rise. A cryptid, he's referred to when laying down the facts. A hidden animal, indeed, we've only seen his tracks. The Sherpa call him Meto Kangmi, man-bear, snowman. A terrifying giant beast who'll shorten your lifespan. We're told his fur is black or red, not white as you might think. One thing that can be said for sure, this creature sure does stink. He's thought to dwell in forests, either side of the range. He doesn't live in snowy mountains, which you might think is strange. Instead, he'll travel across the peaks to get to his food source. Or perhaps he's looking for his perfect mate, of course. Until we find a body or conclusive evidence, most people sit with a stiff upper lip firmly on the fence. Some say he does not wander through the mountain mists. They say the snowman can't exist, yet he does.
And it's interesting that that's the one that you chose because you also research a hairy man somewhere, right? What's your story there?
Well, yeah, that has to be sort of everybody's favorite of late, isn't it, Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
When I first went out to America in the sort of mid-early 2000s, I just had to take the opportunity to go and visit the Redwoods. So me and a friend, Aaliyah Ferrier, we decided to sort of load up a truck and go out into the Redwoods. And we went to every state up the Pacific Coast Highway over a number of years up to today, really, and spent many nights out in the Redwoods, meeting several witnesses as well, and going along the trails and looking for the big hairy cousins, whatever they are, whether they're apes, whether they're people, who knows. But I firmly, I wouldn't even say I believe they exist. I accept that they exist. I think you can't have that many people, credible witnesses, you know, law enforcers who've seen these things. You can't have that many people every year being mistaken. It's just, it just doesn't add up. There has to be something going on.
Have you experienced anything yourself?
You know, personally, the only thing I could say is I've heard something. We were up Mount Rainier one year, and we'd taken the car as high as we could go, and it was sort of snowing up there. Quite fitting, almost like a Yeti story, but of course, you know, we're in the North America there, and we're sort of just looking around and taking in the sights from the view of being so high up the mountain, and then we heard what can only really be described as sort of an opera singer, but incredible bass, sort of moaning on the wind, and it wasn't a howl in the sense of, you know, we've all heard howls on TV and documentaries and things like that, and even in person if you've been lucky enough. They can make some incredibly strange, pretty haunting noises, especially over great distances. But this was different. This had a bass to it. And as far as I'm aware, I don't think bears can sing either. So whatever it was, it really sort of gave us the chills. And I told my parents afterwards, and they were laughing. You know, my mum said, you know, there was your opportunity, and you ran away. And I said, damn right, yeah, we got in the car, and we just, you know, we went back down the mountain because it was quite an imposing noise. It was something big and moaning just over the ridge coming our way, and we didn't want to stick around to find out what it was. I mean, sensible head on, you know, you think, well, okay, if it's a bear, probably a good idea to move on. So, and I don't know what it was, but that's the closest thing I can think. Perhaps, possibly, it was a big hairy cousin, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So your mom, when she hears things, she usually just kind of runs and goes and never talks about it. Does she not talk about that one either? Or
she's very encouraging with it. You know, she
excellent.
Like me, you know, she certainly accepts these things are going on in all facets of the unexplained. You know, whether it's cryptozoology or whether it's supernatural creatures and undiscovered animals, you know, all the way down to paranormal and sort of interdimensional things. I mean, you just have to look at space. We can now firmly sort of accept, everybody has to sort of acknowledge that it's inevitable there's a life elsewhere. You know, for the vastness of space, it's harder to sort of disprove it in a way at this stage. It's, there's just too many possibilities out there. But on this planet, I think there's a lot of weird things and a lot of weird animals that we've yet to discover here. You know, people always say, well, we have Google Earth now and we've mapped every part of the world. Well, we haven't really. We really haven't. You know, Oregon alone is, it's, you know, only 3 million square acres of uncharted forest where aeroplanes have gone down that we've never found, you know. So if we can't find a wrecked aeroplane in a forest, you know, we're unlikely to find something that's avoiding us by choice, you know.
And that part of the world, too. I know a lot of people that they have seen a lot of things, and they're constantly going out and seeing more and more things, and they're getting communication back from things, and whether they're forest friends or Bigfoot or, portals. I mean, there's a lot going on in the areas that you had just mentioned as well. And looking back a little bit in the conversation, too, I think it's a good idea. When you do, I think it's a good thing when there's a parent, at least one in the family, that does support you in as a child in these things happening and being open to them. Like my dad, when he was alive, this stuff isn't real. Nope, But my mom was very open to it. And thank goodness, because then you can talk about it and you can stay open to it, which to me is a good thing, because I would always know where I sensed something. So as a child, I can go into the other room. If I sense something over there, I'm going the other way, right?
yeah, it's funny. It's almost, when you walk in, perhaps not today because technology is different, but there was a time when you could walk into a house and you just know that there was a television on in another room. You know, you could get that sort of electrical vibe was in the air, and you just knew before you even heard the television that it was on in another room. There was a certain sensation. And I think that carries through for a lot of things about our own biology that we still yet don't really understand. You know, we're only just getting our heads around how birds can navigate the globe. And I think there's so many other layers to our own physical sort of mysteries that we've yet to uncover, including being able to sort of communicate between ourselves across great distances. All those really strange little idiosyncrasies of knowing when someone's about to call on the phone or thinking about someone, and then all of a sudden you run into them, you know, but you haven't seen them in years, that kind of thing. I think there's certainly something to it, whether we're all in one giant video game or the Matrix, I don't know, but something's going on.
That's for sure. I know. There's times where I kind of think, are we all in a maze? And, you know, we're like rats in a maze, and some of us are actually looking over the maze and kind of waving at somebody else that's also looking over the maze going, hey, yo, we're in a maze.
Yep.
You know, some of us are aware, and some of us are aware that we're aware. And I think that's a whole nother level at that point.
Yeah, I think, you know, as smart as people can be, however intelligent you are, whatever your background or your culture, if you're not awake, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
If you're not switched on to that particular aspect of it, I don't think you ever really will be. I think certain people are just hardwired that way, and certain people aren't. I don't think you can really make somebody feel that certain way or see or feel those certain things. I think it's definitely a particular trait of only certain people.
So you think that could be innate, and maybe other people that say no, they, they say it all the time. You don't think that that's a stubbornness that they'll ever wake up from? It's just never. It's never just been turned on, and it never will be. Is that what you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, not to sound sort of too pretentious, but from a scientific sort of point of view, if we want to look at this sensibly, I do think it's a physical thing. I do think it's genetic. We hear stories of psychic abilities being passed down through generations and things like that. People sort of say, oh, my grandfather was psychic or what have you. I really think there's something to it. I don't think it's fairy tale or sort of spiritualism or some kind of religious following. I think it really is a physical thing, much in the way as I'm really terrible with mathematics. I sort of have a dyslexia for numbers. And other people, of course, have dyslexia for language. And I think, I mean, there's just absolutely no way I'll ever understand mathematics. That's just not the way my brain's wired. And I think that's the same way on the entire spectrum of people. People, you throw that word around, spectrum, quite a lot for people with certain disabilities and disorders and things. But I think there's a real depth to it, which, if you really want to use the word spectrum, it's like the movie Unbreakable. You have Bruce Willis, who's this essentially a superhero. He just can't get injured. And there's the other end of the scale, Samuel L. Jackson, who his nickname is Mr. Glass because he's so fragile. And I think people are literally that way across the globe. We're all so very different. We know we're all very different, of course. Preach to the choir, everybody listening, obviously. But I think it goes much deeper in terms of psychic abilities. I say superhero, maybe even as far as that. Perhaps there are people out there who can literally blow your mind,
There are people like that. You're exactly right. And of course, one of the places that you hear somebody that does blow your mind is here on Coast to Coast. Everybody, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sam Sheeran, and he's calling us from the UK on the other side. He's got a really neat coloring book. It's called A Creepy Christmas Coloring Book. Check it out. You can go to coasttocoastam.com and you'll see some of the pictures that he has putting together, the artwork, I guess, that you can draw. And you can find out more about him there too. We're going to come back to him. We'll also take your calls too, so you can talk to him yourself. Very interesting man. So it's not just about his creepy Christmas. That's the time of the year. That's why we're talking about it. But he's got an extensive background in the things that we all enjoy talking about. More to come. Stay with us here. Enjoy a creepy Christmas with Coast to Coast AM.